The phone seemed to weigh 100 pounds. I'm Joseph, this is Input English. Today I have a story for you for comprehensible input. Remember that stories are among the best ways for someone to acquire a language. We don't want to study grammar. We don't want to try to memorize words. Those are the modes of failure of traditional language learning methods. We want stories. Our brain evolved to capture stories. Our brain naturally recognizes patterns and tries to predict the future. Our brain is easily captivated by a story. And of course, when you understand a story, you absorb the language. Whatever the language is, you'll absorb it if you can understand the story. So today we are going to join David et al. The expression et al. Is actually Latin, but it's very much part of the English language. Et al. Means and the others, and everybody. So if you have a group of people and you name one of them, like David, and say, David et al., the person you're talking to will understand that it is a group of people and that David is one of them. So we're going to join David actually in the car driving to work on Monday. This was the day that should have been his day off. He just said goodbye to Audrey, and Chris is driving him to work. David had not introduced Chris to Audrey. His mind was occupied by other things. Chris, in order to be polite, did wave at Audrey through the windshield. She briefly waved back, acknowledging that he had waved to her. They never spoke, and David did not introduce them. David is still recovering from the fact that he was counting on having the day off, and this promise of the day off was not kept. He was asked to work. There's also something else on David's mind. He is still thinking about that suggestion that he talked to Dr. Ferguson about maybe selecting a different career. When David got into the car, Chris asked how his weekend was. David said, well, the weekend was fine, but losing my day off took a little getting used to. Chris commiserated. He said, yeah, that's a bummer. When they got to work, they went in to the newspaper and found Pete. Pete immediately thanked David for coming to work. He said, you know, I felt bad taking that day off away from you. I don't like to do that. You two guys are hard workers, and I think you should be rewarded. But I need this help, and I really appreciate it. David said, don't mention it, Pete. It's okay. But then immediately David said, oh, Pete, I'm going to need to make a couple of phone calls today. I would have done them on my day off, but I need to make a couple of phone calls. Would that be okay with you? Pete said, sure, that's the least I can do. Do what you have to do. The boys got to work promptly. They were finishing up some demolition. Plus, Pete had taught them how to patch the holes in the floor in anticipation of the floor contractor getting there next week. They also needed to sweep the entire room that they'd been working on. This was a multi-step process. They needed to sweep up all the debris and get rid of that. They swept again to get the dirt, and then they used a sweeping compound to gather the dust. They would use the sweeping compound on Friday in anticipation of the arrival of the flooring contractor first thing Monday morning. Periodically, David checked his phone to check the time. There were no clocks in this large room they were renovating. He had decided to call Dr. Ferguson's office at 9 o'clock in the morning. When 9 o'clock came, he was in the middle of a task And so he thought to himself that he would call in a few minutes when there was a logical time to take a break. 45 minutes later, he realized that he had not found that logical time for a break, and he had not called Dr. Ferguson's office. He reached for the phone, but hesitated. It was as if the phone weighed 100 pounds. His mind was racing about what he would say, how he would ask for this appointment, how he would justify using up Dr. Ferguson's valuable time. He figured that the office staff would be very protective of Dr. Ferguson's time. They might not be very interested in offering him an appointment to just talk. Another half hour passed. It's now nearly 11 o'clock in the morning, and David started thinking that he may have trouble getting through during the lunch hour. He didn't know if they would answer the phone at the office during the lunch hour. So he figured it's now or never. So that's an expression that you'll hear in English. It's now or never. If you say it's now or never, what it means is if you're going to do this, you're going to do it now. It's a language mechanism that we use to counteract procrastination. So when David decided that he's definitely going to pick up the phone and call the office, even though this makes him a little nervous, he counteracted his procrastination by saying, "It's now or never." He picked up his phone and dialed the number. He stepped out of earshot of Chris. The expression "out of earshot" just means that you stepped away from someone or closed a door. Somehow you prevented other people from hearing what you're going to say. So he stepped out of earshot. The phone was answered on the third ring, and the person answering the phone identified herself as Dora. Now, Dora is the medical assistant working with Dr. Ferguson. She's been with him for years. David introduced himself to Dora and made it clear that he has never seen Dr. Ferguson as a patient. But then he pointed out that David's family had seen Dr. Ferguson. She recognized the last name. David explained that he was a college student and that it has been suggested that maybe Dr. Ferguson could spare a few minutes at the end of a day to talk about a medical career. This is where Dora was really helpful. David was expecting that he might get grilled by the staff why he should be given such an appointment. But instead, Dora said, "Oh yes, he's done that before. I'm sure it'll be okay. When would you like to do it?" David said, "Anytime. I work until about 3:30. Anytime after that would be ideal." Dora said, "Well, Friday afternoon, about 4:15 would be best based on what I see on the schedule. Let's plan on that. Just show up at 4:15. And in the meantime, I will check with Dr. Ferguson to make sure it's okay with him. If there's a problem, I will call you back. Is this a good number?" Now, Dora was referring to the caller ID that she had on her console. She could see his phone number, and so she actually knew what it was. David assented. That is, David said, "Yes, that's a good phone number for me." Dora made a note of the phone number and the time in the schedule software. She made a mental note to check with Dr. Ferguson sometime during the day to see if it was okay. She figured it would be. Later that day, David got a text from Dora. The text said, "The appointment is fine. See you on Friday." David touched the screen and responded with an emoji. He sent the message back, thumbs up. When Friday rolled around, David got home in plenty of time to change his clothes and borrow his mom's car to go to Dr. Ferguson's office. He had told her what he was going to do, and she was thrilled, but she didn't say much. She kept her response subdued. She didn't want to appear to be manipulating him. She just said, "Oh, that's great." David arrived at Dr. Ferguson's office at 4:13. He was 2 minutes early. He was thrilled that he wasn't late. David hates to be late. He'd rather be an hour early than a minute late. Dora greeted him and led him to Dr. Ferguson's office, much the way she had done so with Craig just a couple of weeks earlier. When David got into Dr. Ferguson's office, his response was very similar to Craig's response. He looked around and thought, "This doesn't seem to be a doctor's office. No diplomas on the wall. No bookshelves full of books." He didn't know what he was expecting, but he certainly wasn't expecting this. In a few minutes, Dr. Ferguson came in, greeted him, and gave him a firm handshake. Just like he had done with Craig a couple of weeks earlier, he pulled his chair around the end of the desk so that they could sit close together and talk in a very friendly fashion. Rather than putting David on the spot, Dr. Ferguson broke the ice. That's a common casual expression for starting the conversation in a comfortable fashion. He broke the ice by speculating that David was thinking about maybe going into medicine. This invited David to tell his story. He filled Dr. Ferguson in very quickly on the fact that he was 19 years old, had finished 1 year of college, and that his first year was in anticipation of a degree in marketing. He then explained that the idea of maybe switching to pre-med had been suggested, and he was surprised how attractive that seemed to him. Dr. Ferguson said, "How exciting. You just figured out something important. That is, you have to decide what to do with yourself. You could certainly build a good life with a degree in marketing. You could build a good life with a degree in chemistry. And you can certainly build a good life with a medical degree. Really, what matters here is what you want and what you're willing to work for. The decision you make is an important one, but I don't want to be overly dramatic. We all make important decisions all the time. Your life will be very different with a marketing degree as compared to a medical degree. There's no question they'll be very different." They talked for a while, and Dr. Ferguson recommended that David talk to the pre-med advisor at the university. This is a powerful resource for people who want to go into medicine. He also suggested that David review the standard pre-med requirements. He pointed out that these pre-med requirements have evolved over the years, and they're not necessarily the same as they were when he had gone to college. From the top of his head, he said, "You know, you're going to need a year of biology, a year of physics, a year of chemistry, a year of organic chemistry, and then all the general education courses. There are some great courses that a lot of people take in a pre-med program, such as embryology and comparative vertebrate anatomy. I don't think those are requirements any longer, but they are strong courses." He then stopped himself and said, "Oh, I forgot, biochemistry. You need biochemistry." He summarized by suggesting that David go online and look at the pre-med requirements and see how he could fit those in starting in the fall. In terms of what major to select, he said, that matters less. This is where your pre-med advisor can help you. David then asked, "If I pull this off and I get a degree in medicine, what's next? Internship?" Dr. Ferguson explained in detail. He said that medical school gives you a tremendous amount of knowledge about diseases, human physiology, human anatomy, but it is the internship year that allows the young doctor to put all that together and learn physical diagnosis and the beginnings of treating people with illnesses and injuries. Each step along the way is a bridge to the next step. Along the way, you figure out what you're going to do. You decide whether you want to be a surgeon, whether you want to be a diagnostician, whether you want to specialize in procedures. You just figure that out along the way. People who you encounter will influence you along the way. David had thought that this would be a 30-minute visit and that he would be out of the office before 5 o'clock. Their talk went on for over an hour, and neither one of them was trying to rush it along. They were very comfortable talking. The expression we would use is time flies. They were enjoying their conversation, and pretty soon it was more than an hour later. It was Dr. Ferguson who made an offer toward the end of their discussion. He said, you know, you have a lot to think about. You have to decide. Do you want to take this bold step? Do you want to pursue this kind of a life? Do you want to work this hard? Give it some thought and talk to your pre-med advisor. He or she can help you with the next steps. If you need to talk to me again, just call the office. I'll tell Dora that she can make an appointment like this anytime you need to talk. At this point, it seemed to both of them that their visit had come to a conclusion. David stood and shook Dr. Ferguson's hand. He thanked him for taking the time, and then he looked at his phone, which he had been retrieving from his side pocket. He then thanked Dr. Ferguson again. He was impressed at how much time he had given him. In an upcoming episode, we will learn what David decides. Is he going to stay in the marketing program, or is he going to make a dramatic change in the trajectory of his life? I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.